WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Friday, TGIF, September 9th, 2016, we plan on closing out your week with a bang here on this 60-minute show. To close out the week here on Current Sports, we will be chatting about a man who will be gracing the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame later on this evening. He's got very close ties to here in Mid-Michigan, probably the most famous person here in Mid-Michigan as of right now, that being the head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Mr. Tom Izzo, will be a Hall of Famer, folks. We will chat about Izzo being enshrined into the hall in just a moment. Also, we will recap what took place in the opening game of the NFL season last night as the Denver Broncos pulled off a thriller against the Carolina Panthers in a rematch of last year's Super Bowl. But there's a lot of controversy surrounded around last night's game, considering the fact that Cam Newton was pretty banged up, folks. We'll talk about that as well. We will also invite Jack Ebling to the show, Mid-Michigan broadcaster, journalist, and author, also the host of The Drive with Jack, on radio and Press Pass on television. He has a book out entitled The Perfect 10 that recounts that historic moment in the Michigan State and U of M rivalry on the gridiron that took place last year out in October, I should say. So you don't want to miss that chat. It should be a great one as well. All of that and so much more. Call in to be a part of our airwaves today. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. But let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, as I mentioned, tonight is the night. Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State University men's basketball team, will be inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Television coverage of the ceremony will be shown on NBA TV beginning at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time after the red carpet show, which will take place at 6:30 p.m. Now, the class of 2016 includes Shaquille O'Neal, Allen Iverson, Yao Ming, Zelmo Beatty, Darrell Garrettson, John McClendon, Cumberland Posey, Jerry Reinsdorf, Cheryl Swoops, and of course, Tom Izzo. The Michigan Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony will also take place tonight at 6 p.m. at the Detroit Symphony Orchestra Hall in downtown Detroit. That class includes Tom Cage of the Detroit News, Pete Hovland, Oakland University swimming and diving coach, John Long, U of D in Detroit Pistons, Bob Mann of the Detroit Lions, Kathy McGee, Flint Powers and CMU girls basketball coach, Chris Osgood of the Detroit Red Wings, Brendan Shanahan of the Detroit Red Wings, and Big Ben Wallace of the Detroit Pistons. Also tonight, 2015 inductees to be received will include Derek Jeter. Yeah, folks, that's going to be a hot ticket tonight. And also Mike Modano. That should be a fun time tonight. Michigan State season opening matchup with Arizona on November 11th, men's basketball team, that is, as part of the Armed Forces Classic, is still a go in Hawaii. But the site has changed. ESPN, which operates the event, announced on Thursday that the men's college basketball doubleheader, Indiana and Texas, will also square off, will be played at Stan Sheriff Center on the University of Hawaii campus in Honolulu. The event was originally scheduled to take place at Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam, but has been relocated to provide basketball fans of both the military and the community an opportunity to see the games up close and personal. Antoine Johnson, a 2018 four-star linebacker from Dunbar High School in Ohio, announced via Twitter this morning that he has decommitted from Michigan. He's the third player to decommit from U of M's 2018 class in less than 3 weeks, leaving just one player remaining in that group. The lone player now committed to Michigan's 2018 class is Otis Reese, a four-star safety. Bear with me here, folks, as I'm going to give a quick rundown for week three of high school football action here in mid-Michigan. Lansing Sexton at Grand Ledge, East Lansing at Jackson, Holt at Eastern, Okemos at Everett, Waverly at DeWitt, Mason at St. John's, Hazlitt at Owosso, Ionia at Eaton Rapids, Williamston at Lansing Catholic, Fowlerville at Portland, Olivet at Leslie, Lakewood at Perry, Maple Valley at Stockbridge, Bay City John Glenn at Charlotte, Fowler at Bath, Langsburg at Dansville, Fulton at Potterville, Powamo Westphalia at Saranac, Mount Morris at Corunna, Ovid-Elsie at Hemlock, Ithaca at Saginaw Valley Lutheran, Saginaw Swan Valley at Alma, Morris at Deckerville, Rapid River at Weberville, Ashley at Merrill, Carson City Crystal at Blanchard Montebello. That's all Friday night high school football action from here in mid-Michigan. And on Saturday, you can catch Waldron take on Portland St. Patrick. That will be at Portland St. Pat. All right, Detroit Pistons assistant coach Tim Hardaway faces up to 6 months in jail after pleading no contest on Thursday to violating Michigan's so-called, quote, super drunk driving law. Beverly Hills police arrested Hardaway on midnight of April 23rd after spotting him speeding on 13 Mile near Lasher. They stopped him as he pulled into his driveway. He refused a breath test, so officers obtained a search warrant to draw a blood sample, which showed Hardaway's blood alcohol level content to be 0.17%. That's more than double than the legal limit, and enough to trigger the super drunk provision of the law, which includes tougher penalties. Denver's dominant defense came up big against Cam Newton again, and the Broncos escaped with a 21-20 victory over the Carolina Panthers on Thursday night when Graham Gano missed a 50-yard field goal with 4 seconds remaining. Newton was sacked three times and clobbered all night long, but appeared to have done just enough to get a measure of revenge for that bludgeoning 7 months earlier in Super Bowl 50. Now, Newton, the NFL's reigning MVP, was 18 of 33 for 194 yards with one touchdown and one interception. Denver's new quarterback, replacing the great Peyton Manning, from former Northwestern quarterback Trevor Siemian, completed 18 of his 26 passes against the Panthers. He threw one touchdown and had two interceptions. And last but certainly not least, shocking news that developed last night, folks. Czech 10th seed Carolina Pliskova has defeated Serena Williams in the U.S. Open semifinals in a shocking upset that knocks the U.S. star from her number one ranking. For her first time in her career, Pliskova goes to the Grand Slam final, playing Germany's Angelique Kerber, who will replace Williams in the top spot when the new rankings are revealed on Monday. Nobody saw that one coming, folks. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of today's show or any current sports show, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. Without further ado, I do believe it's about that time to start the show.
I have the greatest confidence that Tom Izzo will do an outstanding job.
I am going to be a lifer. You know, this is what I'm going to be. And damn proud of it.
That coach is a fighter, a battler, and his kids really follow that pattern.
Always been so impressed by his drive, determination, his vision, and I think he's one of the giants in all of sport and one of the great coaches in any sport that you can find. Michigan State's very fortunate to have him.
I just think the players really respect and love him, and that's important.
Coach Izzo, I mean, you know, he means the world to me. You know, he's been so vital.
He's made it into consistent national brand where excellence annually is expected.
But what's so neat is when those guys have their arm around him, to know that it's like a father image, that they believe in him and they trust him.
You know, Coach Izzo has been such a great person, a great relationship, you know, a great friend, you know, a great coach, a great everything to me.
John, I've had a successful run. I hope I've brought in a lot of excitement and pride to this university. I want him to know that Michigan State is a class place, and Tom Izzo's had class people in his program.
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, we are honored you've allowed us to close out your week. It's Friday. Oh, boy, and I'm stoked. I am absolutely excited because we go into the weekend with a lot going on in the sporting world. Of course, week one of the NFL year is now upon us, now officially upon us, getting underway last night with the Carolina Panthers and Denver Broncos. Ended in a thriller, folks. That was fun to watch. Was it not? That was really, really fun to watch last night. Also, a lot of high school football action taking place. I will actually be at Lansing Catholic tonight for your Current Sports High School Football Game of the Week as we will cover the Lansing Catholic and Williamston game. Lansing Catholic undefeated. Williamston coming off a loss to Holly last week, and the Cougars in their new duds, a brand new stadium at Lansing Catholic High School. I have yet to see it, but I've heard fantastic things, all right? So it's going to be a fun weekend, but hey, we plan on rolling you into the weekend with style here on the show. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, we will invite Jack Ebling, a staple here in the Mid-Michigan community. He's a Mid-Michigan sports broadcaster, journalist, and author, host of The Drive with Jack on radio and Press Pass on television. His latest book is entitled The Perfect 10, co-authored by former Detroit Free Press MSU beat reporter Joe Rexrode. And, of course, The Perfect 10 alludes to those just insane in the membrane 10 seconds in that Michigan State and U of M college football game last year in October, October 17th to be exact, a thriller. Blake O'Neal fumbling the punt, and then all of a sudden you have Jalen Watts Jackson taken to the house, and Michigan State wins. That's what this book is centered around. So we will invite Jack to the show to talk about this remarkable piece of work, as well as to get his thoughts on Tom Izzo. That's right, the head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, as he will be enshrined into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame tonight. Jack has covered Tom since Tom got the job back in 1995, and I'm sure he has many, many memories and many candid moments about the career that Tom Izzo has had. So I look forward to chatting with Jack about that and so much more. Again, folks, our phone lines are open. We encourage you all to call in like we do each and every weekday here on the show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Or you can even tweet us at Al Martin, WKER. We start today's show by talking about what you just heard. Again, that great montage centered around Tom Izzo as he will make his way into the Hall of Fame tonight. I'm always intrigued any time I get to sit back and watch a Hall of Fame ceremony. The most intriguing part is clearly the speeches, all right? It's cool to see the footage, the vintage footage of those who are newly inducted into the Hall of Fame, and to hear the color commentators and those who analyze the game of basketball or whatever Hall of Fame it may be, whatever athlete that's being enshrined in the Hall of Fame, whatever career he or she may have had. It's really cool to just relive those moments in present time. But the speeches are my favorite part of it because you get to hear that individual go up to a podium and try and put his or her career in perspective in about 30 minutes tops, right? And that depends on the hall of what Hall of Fame you're talking about, right? Sometimes it's only 10 minutes, all right? But I'm curious to know what Tom Izzo has up his sleeve when he does grace that podium tonight, because he's had just a remarkable career. When you talk about Tom Izzo, you talk about a brand that really exudes class, one that exudes what Michigan State University is all about, and one that exudes just blue-collar hard work and winning. Simple as that, folks. This is a man who's won a national championship. This is a man who has just countless accolades. Countless accolades. I mean, you know, again, he won a 2000 NCAA title. He's made six other Final Four appearances, the latest coming in 2015. He has won five Big Ten regular season and five conference tournament championships in his 21-season career. And his 524 wins trail only Bobby Knight at Indiana for most victories at a Big Ten school. Just a stout career, folks. And it's very cool. Now, we all know that Tom Izzo's father passed away not too long ago, and that's been such an emotional roller coaster for Tom to try and move on from. You never really, and I haven't lost a parent, but I can only imagine that you never really move on from losing a parent. But Tom Izzo does still have his 90-year-old mother in his life by the name of Dorothy, who plans to attend the induction ceremony in Springfield, Massachusetts tonight. So that has to be, I mean, you're going into the Hall of Fame and your mother is sitting there watching you, you know, someone who has been so instrumental in making you the man that you are today. Someone who was so instrumental in raising you and teaching you about how to be a man. I mean, that's going to be a pinch me moment for Tom Izzo when he gets up at that podium and really looks around the room and surveys the landscape and really points out a few people who have meant so much to his life and career. No more so than his mother, I'm sure. And the only person I can imagine that eclipses that is his father, or at least equals that, right? Judd Heathcote, who pushed for this little-known assistant to succeed him back in 1995. Heathcote, unfortunately, will not be able to attend the trip tonight. But at the same time, Judd Heathcote is a man who gave Izzo his shot. Yeah, remarkable. And I'm curious, you know, when Jack comes in, when Jack comes in as a part of the show to talk about Tom Izzo, you know, Jack has been covering Izzo throughout his entire career. And I'm curious to know what the collective opinion was of Tom Izzo when he first got hired by Judd Heathcote. Because I've heard mixed opinions, you know. A lot of people didn't know who he was. I mean, again, little-known assistant for Judd. Judd, huge name in Michigan State men's basketball. And you have this young stud coming on the scene. Very fiery, very emotional. But when, you know, those, it's not like Tom Izzo came into a situation, you know, where he first started coaching and he immediately had success off the bat. There were growing pains, as with any new position. Certainly, folks, no matter what profession you're talking about, there are going to be growing pains. So I'm curious to know when we talk with Jack later on this afternoon, what his thoughts and what the collective thoughts were surrounded around this Youper. All right. And this is such a remarkable moment. I was watching the local news last night, and I was flipping back and forth between Channel 10, WILX, and also WLNS. And there was a feature done by WILX's Faith Miller, and she talked with the head of the Michigan State Alumni Association, Mr. Scott Westerman, who is a dear friend of the show. He's been on multiple times. And Scott weighed in on what Tom Izzo means to Michigan State. And he made a comment that athletics are the front porch of a university. They truly are. And when he made that statement, and, you know, he went on to say, you know, athletics are the front porch of a university, and that's our way of getting them in the door. And once they get in the door, they can really see where the real magic happens. Once you get into a university like Michigan State, I mean, you may know Michigan State from athletics. And that's, you know, when I was trying to make my decision back in 2008 as to where I wanted to go to college, Well, first off, my brother had went here for 4 years, and he absolutely loved the experience. I came up for a few visits with him. And really, though, when you would bring up Michigan State when I was in high school, the only thing I knew about Michigan State was that they had a fantastic athletic program, you know, when it came to football and basketball, and more so basketball at the time, because I remember being 11 years, I always tell this story, but, you know, being 10 years old, excuse me, when I was sitting on the floor with my socks off with my grandparents watching the Michigan State men's basketball team, Mateen Cleaves and company, win a national championship. I will never forget that. And that was like my first introduction into what Michigan State was all about. And I remember when I told my buddies when I was a senior in high school that I was going to Michigan State University, I remember the first thing they would say is, oh, man, that's the home of Tom Izzo, you know? And they would also bring up, of course, Magic Johnson. Those were the first two names they would bring up. Oh, Michigan State, yeah, that's where Magic played. Oh, that's where Tom Izzo coaches. And I remember coming in, and I had gotten season tickets to watch the Michigan State men's basketball team my freshman year of college. And I was only, you know, I didn't know anyone when I came to Michigan State because I was the only person out of our entire high school graduating class at Annapolis High School in Dearborn Heights. I was the only one to attend Michigan State. So I came in not knowing anybody. I knew I was still getting to know my roommates, but I love basketball. And I wanted to see Tom Izzo in action. So I was the only one out of my roommates and those that I knew on campus when I first got here, which wasn't many people. I was the only one that got season tickets. So I would go to the games by myself and sit in the upper deck of the Izzone and watch Tom Izzo go to work. And I remember the first game I went to, I mean, my jaw was completely on the floor. I'm sitting there saying, oh, my gosh, that's Tom Izzo right there on the sidelines, which was such a cool thing. And then I remember when, you know, as my college career went on and I actually got my first opportunity to cover Coach Izzo as an intern when I was at Channel 6 News under the tutelage of Fred Heumann. And I remember the first practice I went to where I got a chance to stick a mic in front of the face of Izzo. I mean, I was just sitting there so nervous. Like, this is Tom Izzo. I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to ask any question. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. And I remember that first moment where I was just completely in awe. But as my journalistic career has gone on here in Michigan, I've gotten a chance to get to know Izzo and talk to him. And, you know, he does this thing every once in a while where he invites the local media members to his house right before the season starts. And you get to chat with Izzo in an informal, just an informal setting and just get the chance to chat with him. And once he found out that I was the guy that was going to replace Earl Robinson, I mean, he walked up to me and said, congratulations, Al. If you need anything, just let me know. And we just started talking. And he was just so cool and so nice. And that's something that really speaks volumes as to the person that Tom Izzo is. Even with all the fame, even with him going into the Hall of Fame now, Tom Izzo has made it a priority to make sure that he still stays the same humble human being from the UP that he has always been. Simple as that. He treats everyone the same, and he's just a good guy. Just a good guy and a prime representative as to what a coach of a big-time university like Michigan State should be. Simple as that. So I'm looking forward to it, folks. I want to know, what are your favorite memories from the career of Tom Izzo as he will be enshrined later on tonight in Springfield, Massachusetts at the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Again, the red carpet show will take place at 6:30 p.m. and the ceremony will be televised on NBA TV at 7:30 p.m. And, you know, at the same time, this is a huge accomplishment. A huge accomplishment. Tom Izzo, I saw he was fitted. You know, he got a chance for the first time to put on that Hall of Fame jacket, and he got his ring as well. And, you know, this is such a monumental accomplishment in the life of Tom Izzo and the career of Tom Izzo. But, folks, this is a man who's still not satisfied. I want to reiterate that. Tom Izzo will not be completely satisfied with his career, I believe, until he wins another national championship. And he constantly talks about that. Tom Izzo wants another one, folks. And even though his accolades up to this point have been, again, have well exceeded expectations and are more than enough to get him into the Hall of Fame, Tom Izzo is still not satisfied. And honestly, even if he wins a national championship, I don't think Tom Izzo will never be satisfied. And that's what makes the greats great. That's what makes them different. That's what separates a good, career from a Hall of Fame career. Simple as that. And how about the street cred of those who he will be going into the hall with? I mean, again, Shaquille O'Neal, Allen Iverson, Yao Ming, Zelmo Beatty, Darrell Garrettson, John McClendon, Cumberland Posey, Jerry Reinsdorf, and Cheryl Swoopes. What a class. And three names that really stand out to me growing up and being such a basketball aficionado like I am. Shaquille O'Neal, Allen Iverson, and Yao Ming. When I was growing up loving the game of basketball, I was fans of those guys, especially Allen Iverson. I actually, and I checked this morning to make sure it was still there, but I actually have in my bottom drawer, in my bedroom, my bottom drawer, I have my Allen Iverson jersey that I used to rock back in my high school days. It's the old school Philadelphia jersey that Wilt Chamberlain and company used to wear, Dr. J used to wear back in the day. It's the red and white jersey with in red on the front of the jersey, Phila on it, and then you have the number 3, and then on the back you have the Allen Iverson name. I still have that jersey that I used to wear all the time back in high school, and I want to get it framed and possibly one day get it signed by AI. But, this would be so cool for me sitting back because, Shaq, AI, and Yao Ming are guys I used to watch on a regular basis, and I was big fans of growing up. So to see Izzo, a guy who I cover currently in my journalistic career, get inducted with those guys, cool isn't the word, all right? Folks, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to invite the man behind the glass right now, our engineer of WKAR's current sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing?
Doing well. Yeah, I too actually had an Allen Iverson jersey. And one picture that I saw from the Hall of Fame ceremony was Tom Izzo standing right next to Cheryl Swoopes amongst Yao Ming and Shaquille O'Neal.
It was one
of those pictures where you just went up the page and down the page and noticed everybody on the way because Tom Izzo was at the very bottom, the belly button level of the other two. It was funny, very comical to see.
Yeah.
But my memories of Tom Izzo, I always respected the guy as a student, as a student of the game and as an outsider of Michigan State, because I really had no sort of prejudice or bias or any sort of connection even to MSU growing up so far away. But seeing Tom Izzo work firsthand here at school, my first encounter was at the Izzo campout freshman year. I was trying to get lower bowl tickets, and that's what you have to do. You have to camp out in the cold, hard days and night, I guess, of an October, late October day here at MSU on Munn Field, I believe.
Yeah,
and Tom Izzo goes out, and he spends the entire night with you. He's riding around on his golf cart, and I'm just thinking, when's he going home? I keep looking at my watch like, He's still out here, and it just shows that this guy, he really is so passionate about his craft. He doesn't say anything for the media, but he says everything to the media. He lets it all hang out. He leaves it all open. He's very transparent. He's very clairvoyant in terms of he knows what's going to happen. He knows what effects what he says, what he does will have on the future of his program, and he's unbelievable. Seeing him 6 a.m. say, wake up, wake up, with more energy than any of the students, most of whom probably had snuck however much alcohol into the Munn Field. Tom Izzo is just riding around on his golf cart. Wake up, wake up. Sparty's on the back, passed out, I'm sure. But Tom Izzo, he's got the energy, he's got the character, and he always, always will have the passion.
And he's got the accolades, to say the least, right? And you know what? What I love about Tom, too, when it comes to his body of work, what I admire so much is that Tom Izzo was old school. Tom Izzo is a guy who's going to coach you so hard. He is going to get – you know that if your son is going to play for Tom Izzo, he is going to leave that program as a man. Simple as that. And a lot, and it's a catch-22 because a lot of kids just simply can't handle it. You know, they can't. How many times have we seen guys transfer to other schools because for various reasons? But I'm sure a lot of it has to do with, you know, the fact that they can't. A lot of kids just don't like being yelled at anymore. You know what I mean? You know, in this prima donna generation that we currently see being brought up, a lot of kids, when they see or when they experience Tom Izzo getting into their grill and really challenging them to get better and to really live out their full potential, a lot of them crawl into the turtle shell and they can't deal with it. But that's what I love, though. Tom Izzo is old school, and he is going to coach his players hard, but do it at the end of the day with a ton of love. And we call that old school tough love. Simple as that. And I think that's also who Tom Izzo is as a person and what makes him great as a coach. Because I've been at practices where I've seen Tom just drill into somebody. But I've also seen that athlete respond to that kind of motivation. And I think that's something that makes Tom special. Folks, again, we're taking your calls. If you have a Tom Izzo memory and have thoughts on Tom getting enshrined into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame tonight, call in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Jack Ebeling, Mid-Michigan broadcaster, journalist, and author of the... He's also the host with The Drive with Jack on radio, Press Pass on television. He does it all. He's got a book that recounts one of the biggest moments in Michigan State and U of M college football rivalry history, all right? That and so much more coming your way. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we are asking you all out there to call in and give your own tribute to Mitt Michigan's very own head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Mr. Tom Izzo, who will be inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame tonight at 6:30 p.m. He is one of 10 inductees that will be taking the podium and will be officially enshrined tonight. So call in, again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got our dear friend, Mike, from Saginaw, that wants to weigh in. Mike, what's up, my man?
How you been, man?
I've been blessed, brother. What's on your mind?
I'm all right. Before I get you to sports there, you seen the new show Atlanta on Netflix? Is that on FX yet?
Of course, Mike. I am in love with the show already. I'm a big fan of Childish Gambino, of course. His real name, Donald Glover. Always been a fan of him, man. He is multi-talented, and I think the first two episodes really knocked it out the park. I'm a big fan of it.
Okay, is that going to be regular season-type show, or this is going to be just like...
The premiere was earlier this week, I think, and the first two episodes are already out there on demand. I checked them out two days ago. It's great. It's pretty funny, too.
Okay, the reason why I asked that, because most of the TV, this is the season where they break out the new TV shows and everything, and I thought it might be a fall season type show.
I don't know.
Just being a replacement.
I just know it's good.
All right. I want to say thanks to Tom Izzo for being in the National Hall of Fame. I like to hear his speech. You know who I like to hear is Allen Iverson and Shaquille O'Neal's speech, man. Mm-hmm. I really would. I would like to hear what Allen Iverson got to say about some of the things he over his career. You know, he's just going to talk about how hard he played and how he loved the fans in Philadelphia. But is he going to say a lot of credit to Larry Brown? I'm sure he's going to say that. Mm-hmm. And Shaquille O'Neal going to say probably a lot of credit to his father and his stepdad. And it's just going to be good. Izzo also going to give credit to his father, too. So you know, we don't have NBA TV on our satellite, on our cable system, so I got to get the highlights on ESPN when they show them. So.
And I'm pretty sure you could possibly live stream it online, I'm assuming. Yeah, I think AI, he may have some fun tonight, and we may hear this tonight.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. Yeah. Not a game. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Practice.
Yeah, I think we may hear that tonight as well, Mike. But, yeah, I tell you what. What do you think? Mm-hmm. I want to throw this out to you. What do you think the chances are that that AI cries during tonight's speech? Because I think AI is very emotional, Isaac, and I really think
it's 100%.
I think it's 100%.
Yeah, I agree with Isaac on that one. I really think he's gonna get real emotional about it. I really do.
I tell you what, it's gonna be a fun one tonight. Well, hey, Mike, appreciate the call, my man.
All right. Oh, I just wanted to talk to you about the football game right quick,
if you don't mind. Yes, go ahead.
I was going to talk to you about Trevor Siemian. Did you see him play at Northwestern? And what you think about his talent to get to the NFL?
Well, I'll tell you what.
I
thought he was a good player in college. But what I saw last night, now, despite – you know, the two interceptions, that didn't tell the whole story last night, if you ask me. I thought Siemian did a great job. He looked very comfortable. And that's one thing about Siemian. When you evaluate what he was able to do last night, Mike, he was so cool, calm, and collected. When he threw those interceptions, he was still poised, and he just played for the next down. I thought he did a great job last night, and what an opening game to start the NFL year, right? All right. Well, I tell you what, folks. The man, the myth, the legend has just entered our studios here at WKAR. And we want to start this with a little fun because this is a book that I am definitely going to purchase and I cannot wait to read because I was actually, we both were there when this moment happened. And I think this will refresh in a few minds with this this snippet here.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap and the ball is free. Picked up by Michigan State.
Bad snap. Bobble. Scooped up. Here come the Spartans. Down the sideline. Racing into the end zone.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Racing into the end zone is Jalen. Watts. Jackson. Touchdown, MSU.
Touchdown.
Folks, no flags.
The flags.
Oh, my God. Piling on each other in the end zone. It's over.
Michigan State is still the big boy on the block in the state of Michigan. A shocking ending to this rivalry game.
I mean, how can you forget that? And I don't care how many times I listen to Michigan State's incredible win, courtesy of George Blaha and Drayson Strayhorn of the Spartan Sports Network. Every time I hear Strayhorn just lose his mind, I can't help but chuckle a bit, all right? So I tell you what, he's just walked through the door. His name is Jack Ebling, mid-Michigan broadcaster, journalist, and author, host of The Drive with Jack on radio and Press Pass on television. His latest book, entitled The Perfect 10, co-authored by former Detroit Free Press MSU beat writer Joe Rexrode. Jack Ebling is in the house to talk about this incredible piece of work and so much more. Jack, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing?
Pleasure to be here, Al, and it's great to see you again back on Channel 6 when Fred had his all-star collection of people come back who had worked on the fifth quarter, and now we know why the show's been so successful. Fred had help.
Yeah, he had a ton of help, right?
I tell you what,
it's so cool going back, and I had a bit of nostalgia when I walked through that studio, and I saw really those that set the foundation for that show. But, yeah, it was really cool just to be back at Channel 6 and seeing Uncle Freddie. But first, I want to start by talking about this piece of work you have. Now, before we dive into the specifics of the book, Jack, everybody has a story about where they were and what they were doing and what went through their heads when that incredible moment occurred last year in October between Michigan State and U of M on the gridiron at the Big House.
Yeah.
Where were you? I know you were at the game. And what went through your head when that moment unfolded?
I was sitting next to Tom Crawford. I had just come across the press box all the way across to congratulate him. And I figured, okay, there's nobody back. They're just going to punt the ball. It's going to bounce around for a while. And then I saw that they weren't blocking anybody, and they had gunners on both sides. And then the snap was a little low, and Blake O'Neill decided he was going to play Australian rules football. And next thing you know, Grayson Miller has the hit that you see on the cover here. We call it the Heimlich maneuver. He just happened to hit his arm, and there goes the ball.
Exactly.
And Jalen's got it, and here comes a sea of white down the sideline. First thing I thought was, there has to be a flag. I mean, I've seen Michigan State get flags for breathing.
Exactly.
And I said, okay, I don't know how many they're going to be. There has to be one. And when I looked around, I said out loud, there has to be a flag. And I turned to my right, and I saw Tom Crawford. And his, it might still be in this position. I'm not sure.
Right.
But I can tell you, and Isaac played that intro with Sean McDonough, George Blaha. You didn't hear Chris Spielman. He was in stunned silence, but Jason Strayhorn. Now this is two stations that Tom Crawford will not listen to. Ours and yours.
That's it. That's it. We're not making it to his listener.
Completely off the list. Right. Yep.
Well, I tell you what, Jack, because, you know, that moment was such an incredible one. And I'm sitting there on the sidelines with Isaac. And Isaac, you remember this. Isaac was shooting the play.
Yeah.
And I'm on my phone, you know, because I had written my stand-up.
Yeah.
I had a piece, you know, written up that I'm trying to memorize alluding to a Michigan State loss.
Yes.
That totally went out the window. And I find myself, you know, forgetting where I was, you know, and who I worked for at the moment because I tapped Isaac on the shoulder.
Sure.
Could have ruined the shot.
It was a tremor, more or less.
Exactly.
You know?
and I totally forgot that, he's shooting this historic moment. Let me just back off here. But everyone has a story about where they were. For you, Jack, because you've been covering Michigan State for a long time. For you, where does that moment rank when it comes to the most memorable Spartan plays that you have professionally covered?
It's probably tied with the 1974 Ohio State ending. When Ohio State was number one, Michigan State wasn't on the radar. The Spartans won with an 88-yard run in the final minutes. And then for 45 seconds, no one knew who had won the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Ohio State fans are jumping up and down. And Michigan State fans are jumping up and down. It took 45 minutes for Commissioner Wayne Duke to figure out who had won.
Wow. That had to be so odd.
The funny part about that, Al, was that in the midst of all the pandemonium in the Michigan State locker room, someone came in and said, "Stop! Troy Hickman has been killed by a falling goalpost." Troy was the assistant equipment manager and beloved by the players. And in the midst of the celebration, the goalpost had come down, hit him in the head. And now you imagine going from the highest high to the lowest low imaginable, and everyone's crying. 45 seconds later, Troy Hickman walks into the locker room. It had all been...
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, what a moment.
What a moment.
That's hard to top, I see, Jack.
And then Wayne Duke had to go tell Woody Hayes his team lost. You can imagine what that was like.
I would have loved to be in a fly on the wall for that
But this
moment.
One was right there. And in terms of seeing some fan base that was so confident, some would say arrogant, some would say smug, and then to have the football yanked away, Charlie Brown, it's hard to top that one. What we have in this book, Al, and I think it's my favorite part of the book. In the final 42 pages, we have reflections from Michigan people, Michigan State people, people whose lives have basically been changed for the past year because of that play.
Wow.
And, the director of the Spartan Marching Band, John T. Madden, he had got everything ready to go, and they were heading to the exit. They weren't even going to do the postgame show.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly he said, "You know what? Get the stuff out. We're going down on the field."
How about that?
Yeah, Tom Izzo, who could not see the play. He had been on the sidelines with his son Steven for the entire game, had taken so much abuse coming in and stuff being thrown at him. And finally he said, "We're getting out of here." And he'd gone up the tunnel. And then he heard this noise like he'd never heard before. And he runs back down the tunnel. And you imagine security keeping Tom Izzo out of the field so he couldn't see anything. And he's just trying to guess
what had happened. He didn't know what was going on in that moment. Right.
Chris Baldwin. The famous Surrender Cobra
guy. Right.
He's in the book.
He's in the book.
Yeah, we interviewed him, and his sister's a Michigan State graduate, and she's only bothered him every single day of his life. But he has that on his resume, the fact that he is the Surrender Cobra guy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That is golden. Yeah. So you really, you know, crossed your T's and dotted your I's with this, Jack. And I tell you what was it like, though, when did yourself and Joe decided that you wanted to make the perfect 10? I mean, when did it hit you like, okay, we need to put something out. This would be kind of fun.
I got the idea riding home with Tom Crawford. Now, he couldn't speak. He was in a catatonic fit at that point. So I said, you know what? There's really something here. We're going to talk about this for 50 years.
Yeah.
We have to record this. We have to somehow preserve this for posterity. So I started thinking, what could we do? How could we do it? And then I met with Rex Rode the next night. Mm-hmm. We'd done the television show. And I said, I need to run an idea by you. Tell me if you think I'm an idiot. And he jumped all over it. I didn't know he was going to go to Nashville and be the columnist for the Tennessean, which complicated things. But for his half the book, he is probably the only author who ever wrote a football book between periods of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh, my goodness. He worked on that while at the Stanley Cup Finals?
During the playoffs, yes. During the games.
My goodness.
Yes. So, yeah, we talked to over 350 people, and it's 284 pages if you count the foreword by George Blaha and all those things. So,
right.
Some tremendous pictures by Matthew Mitchell, and we hope that people like it.
Now, I want to read what I found. I chuckled when I read this. The back cover testimonial from Michael Rosenberg of Sports Illustrated. He says this, folks, quote, "If you want to read about the best job any college coach has done in the last two decades, the most amazing play in one of college football's greatest rivalries, and one of the best seasons in Michigan State history, skillfully told by two journalists who know the story better than anybody, then this book is for you." Then this is the part that got me. "If you'd rather read something boring, then hey, that's your problem." Gotta love that, right? Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Jack Ebling, Mid-Michigan broadcaster, journalist, and author, host of The Drive with Jack on radio and Press Pass on television. His latest book entitled The Perfect 10. Now, Jack, when you take on a task like this and putting together a piece of work like this, where in the world do you start? And how many sleepless nights did you have thinking about The Perfect 10?
Well, we're still having them because right now we have the paperbacks in hand and the hardbound will arrive early next week. And when you have a book signing and you don't have hardcover books, that creates a lot of sleepless nights. But it was something that Joe and I have worked together before, and we were able to figure out what we wanted in the book, what we wanted to throw out. We threw out as much as we put in.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to decide how we're going to divide this thing. And it just worked out that we had different strengths. No one knew this team, last year's team, better than Joe Rexroad in the media, whereas I had more of a historical perspective on the rivalry and Michigan State football in general. So it kind of fit. You find two different approaches when books are co-authored, Al. Sometimes people actually sit and collaborate like songwriters over a computer, and they write something and say, "No, I don't like that. How about this?"
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't really fit for a couple reasons with us, our schedules. And also, Joe has a much more linear approach. I think he's more organized mind than I have.
Right.
Mine is like, it looks like a big stew, and then at the end it comes together, and there's something there.
Yeah.
So that was one factor. And then we were able to go through, and we had 28 chapters, and you know, it winds up, I think there's two pages difference in what we did. But Joe said, "I'd like to do these," and he wanted to do the player profiles, and I wanted to do the vignettes, and I wanted to do some of the historical. So it worked out that we split it, and it was no problem.
Folks, if you got a question for Mr. Jack Ebling here, call in 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Jack, we've got Kirk from Grand Ledge actually on line one that wants to ask you a question.
Great.
Kirk, my man, shoot. What's up?
Not a whole lot, Al. I don't get a chance to call in very often anymore, but when I heard Jack on about this book, I had to call in because I read an excerpt from the book that had been released. I don't know if it was released authorized or unauthorized.
Yeah, it was authorized.
Okay. Talking about the backgrounds of the various players on that Ranger squad.
Yes.
And that was amazing to me. I didn't know any of that background on guys like Monty Medeiros and some of those others.
Yeah, every player who was on the field at that point has a chapter in the book.
Do they?
Including Jermaine Edmondson. But so
really?
Every player has a life story. And some of the life stories, I mean, I didn't know that people's lives were saved at U of M Hospital, or that they're in a misdiagnosis of someone's father there, or that someone's dad was watching from prison, or that, you know, different things that happen in it. And you say, wow, what a great story. And then you times that by so many hundred thousand, and that's why we have a book.
Exactly. So true.
So the next question I have is, how do I get the book?
Bam.
I didn't pay him to ask that one, but that's a great question. Actually, anybody can get a preview of the book or order a copy, paperback or hardbound, by going to 10perfectseconds.com. 10perfectseconds.com. And we're going to have a ton of signings. Our first one, ironically, is tomorrow morning at the ticket machine,
mm-hmm.
at corner of Mount Hope and Hagedorn. We'll be over there from 10 to noon signing books. And as I said, we only have the paperback, which is $19.95 plus tax. And then the hardbound is $29.95.
Nice. Kirk,
so you'll have paperbacks available at that signing?
We absolutely will. I just picked up 360 of them. So
okay. We'll probably see you then, Jack.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Kurt, thanks a lot for the call. Again, the number to call is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Now, Jack, how many books have you written? And I got to also ask, what's going to be your favorite, when you look at the book you've written right now, what's your favorite excerpt from that book?
Wow. This is book 8, and I have two more in progress. Put them on hold to finish this. This is a project, Al, where it's very time sensitive. So I haven't played a round of golf this year.
Right.
I haven't seen a movie this year. Once you're into it, you are all in. It's kind of like recruiting season for a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this last week. I had a couple women upset about it, but this is as close as a male can have to childbirth. It takes about 9 months. There's a lot of labor pain. And when you finally hold the baby in your hands, you know, it's beautiful.
I like that.
Yeah. So a lot of sleepless nights, and especially if the business operator, it's different if somebody's writing you a check.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we'll give you this much money to write this book, and you do it, and they give you the money, and that's it. But here, it's a entrepreneurial venture. So, you know, you have the risk and you have the reward with it, but you also have the control.
Definitely a labor of love, to say the least, right?
Labor of love. Yeah, absolutely. And I had a great partner. I had a great editor. We had a great editor, Gene Myers, retired editor from the Free Press, as I mentioned, Matthew Mitchell in the photography. So we put together the team we wanted, just as Mark D'Antonio did last October 17th.
Wow. Gotta love that. Before we get you out of here, Jack, again, we're talking with Jack Ebling, Michigan broadcaster, journalist, and author, host of the Drive with Jack on radio and Press Pass on television. His latest book, entitled The Perfect 10, co-authored by former Detroit Free Press MSU beat reporter Joe Rexrode. You mentioned, because I would be remiss if I didn't follow up on this. You talked with Jermaine Edmondson.
We did.
And this had to be before, of course, the whole incident with Draymond Green. But what did you get out of his chapter in there?
He wasn't sure. His parents weren't sure this was the right place for him. And even though he had shown some progress, you know, he's one of those guys who was always kind of on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the right place last October 17th. Michigan State fans can always be grateful, because I don't think Jalen Watts Jackson would have gotten into the end zone without him.
Exactly. Right. When you look at how things played out on that play, yeah.
This cover shot, you can see the look of panic in Jake Butt's eyes.
Yes, you can.
He is looking back, and just as Grayson Miller and here comes Matt Morrissey delivering this hit, and Jake Butt is saying, oh, bleep.
Right. Right.
And here comes the ball up in the air.
Jeez. And what a shot. I think that's a very fitting picture for the cover of The Perfect 10. We've got another question here for you, Jack, on line two. Todd from Lake Orion. Todd, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Ebling, for coming on. I know this issue may not be directed in your book or brought up, but were you surprised, as someone who was at the game and covered it, how little criticism Coach Harbaugh took for how the play went down? I mean, everyone was blown away by the emotion in the play itself, but I was amazed at how little the local media or even the national media came after Coach Harbaugh for his team's lack of preparation. I may be wrong, but did they not have a timeout that they chose not to use? And when they saw the punt team line up and obviously what Michigan State was going to do, I thought that was poor coaching. I mean, obviously he's a very good coach, and great, you know, smart people do dumb things. But were you surprised that nobody came after Harbaugh at all and really had the guts to question him or call him out on how that play went down? Because I kind of took it as he laid it all on the feet of the punter and said, well, you know, this happens. Well, when you're the head coach of a football team, it's your job to make sure it doesn't happen. What was your response to that, Jack?
Well, Todd, I think there were a few people who raised the question, but in the midst of all the chaos, maybe that got put aside a little bit. We certainly go into it and we explore it. There are probably 15 people in here who call Jim Harbaugh to task. In fact, a former Michigan great player said that he thought that he really should have gone after the special teams coach.
Mm-hmm.
Who, you know, but yeah, there were timeouts called after every one of those plays, two by Michigan, one by Michigan State. And it just so happened that they didn't have any conversations with Blake O'Neal during the timeout. And being an Australian rules football player, his idea was, you know, I'm going to spin around and kick this ball again, and didn't realize. But I think he saw out of the corner of his eye. It was also one of the reasons he dropped the snap, the distraction of these four Lions coming at him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just seeing this football as a piece of meat out there. They're going after it with everything they have. I thought the guy who could have been the hero of heroes a couple times was Jake Butt, one with the most heroic tackle if he'd made it 1 yard sooner. But two, if you imagine a three-man blocking shield up in front, if he had just noticed that, hey, they got four guys and no one's touching him, I'm just going to lurch forward and get a penalty, illegal motion, 5 yards, they reset, they bring in the gunners, everything is okay.
There's so many different scenarios that could have played out in that 10 seconds.
We go through about 30 scenarios of how it could have been different.
Sheesh. Gotta love that.
But I guess my question in response to that would be, if you're going to heap coach on a praise for all the positive and things he does well, you also have to be willing to lay criticism at the feet of the same coach. I mean, I don't know how you can be in a position where everything your team does well, you get attributed to you, and all the mistakes or that the special team coach or your staff makes, well, that was somebody else's fault. I mean, that would be an ideal situation for any employee to be in.
Right.
I mean, everything that goes well, I get credit for. Everything that goes poorly is someone else's fault. That's a job for life, isn't it?
And that's a fair. And thanks for the call, Todd. That's a fair point, I guess you can say, Jack.
We hope a lot of people will like this book, and we think Jim Harbaugh won't be one of them.
Very well said, Jack. I want to throw this out there. We only got 3 minutes left here in the show, but Tom Izzo going to the Hall of Fame tonight, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. It's going to be an incredible moment. I can't wait to see what he has to say at the podium. But you've covered this guy when he got hired, at the very beginning of his career in 1995.
Right.
Thoughts on Izzo getting enshrined?
We go back to the day he arrived in 1983 because we both got abused equally by Judd Heathcote. But it breaks my heart that I can't be there. I had all kinds of plans, and then when the book arrives, and I had to be here for the, so that wasn't a possibility. But Tom Izzo is everything that Michigan State stands for. I don't think there's any coach in the country who's a better reflection on the university. I'm not talking about wins and losses. I'm not talking about during games. I'm talking about representing, and the things he does for the school that people never see. And my favorite Tom Izzo story, if you have a second, is that I judge people on how they respond around people who cannot help them. Mm-hmm. And there was a time we went on a recruiting trip. We went up to see Eric Dievendorf. And we get to the school, and he can't sit in the stands because people flock to him and disrupt everything. So he's standing under the basket. And timeouts, and people are coming over to him, and women want him to sign body parts and everything. And at the end of the game, he said, 5 minutes to go. I says, you want to go? I mean, we've seen everybody. We can see it's a non-contact period. So he said, yeah, let's go. So we start out the door. We're going to beat the traffic, and there's a custodian there. And the custodian says, hey, coach. Tom goes over. 15 minutes later, everyone has left the gym, and Tom is still talking to the coach. This is someone he'll never see again, had never seen before, but just wanted to make that person's life special. That's Tom Izzo.
The custodian. Wow. What a story. And I think that really puts in perspective the type of man that Tom Izzo is. Well, one more time, Jack, how can people get the Perfect 10?
The best way to get it is the website, 10perfectseconds.com. Don't go to theperfect10.com. That's a porn site.
don't go there, please.
10perfectseconds.com. Or you can come to any of our signings. And the first one is tomorrow morning, 10 to noon, at the Ticket Machine, the corner of Mount Hope and Hagedorn.
Gotta love that. Jack, I look forward to reading this outstanding piece of work. I already know you're going to knock it out the park, my man.
We're going to leave one here, and you and Isaac can fight over it this weekend.
Isaac, I'm reading it first, all right?
You worked out more than me recently. You got it.
There we go. Jack Ebling, the one, the only. Folks, we are out of time. We'll be back at it on Monday. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic weekend, and be easy, people.